Hebrews chapter 12, I'll start reading verse 1. I'll read down to verse number 3, and then we'll get into our lesson this morning. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And we come to our last lesson of this series called Have Faith in God. Starting next week, Lord allowing us and Lord helping us, we're going to start a new series. It'll start in Psalms 13. It'll go to Psalms 24. We've done the Psalms 14, I believe it is. Psalms 14 and Psalms 24. We've done the first 13 Psalms at a previous quarter in our Sunday school class. And we'll cover those Psalms. So if you want to start reading even during the week, that's where we'll be at for the next 13 weeks in those Psalms. Now, what we do this quarter, basically, I think I've taught almost every lesson. There might have been one or two I didn't teach, but I think I've taught. Yeah, earlier on I was on vacation. I didn't teach a couple of the lessons, but I taught all of them. We do that sometimes, and sometimes we kind of switch around, and next week we'll be we'll be switching around. I'll probably teach the first couple lessons, and then I'll have some of the other men help me with some of the lessons as we go. So that's what we'll do next quarter. But this quarter we're going to finish out this part about have faith in God. Now, as we read through Hebrews 11, we covered all 40 verses of Hebrews 11. The Lord really brought example after example after example of someone who had faith in the Lord. He said, this person had faith, and through that faith, this is what they did. And this person had faith, and through faith, this is what they did. And the Lord used all these people as examples of faith. But now when we get to Hebrews chapter 12, and it's really a continuation here, the Lord didn't separate it in chapters. That's what we've done for the easy access of finding places. But it's a continuation. When you go from verse 40 in Hebrews 11 to verse 1 in chapter 12, it's still a continuation of the same thought about this faith that he's talking about. So he goes through all the examples that we saw in Hebrews 11. We come to chapter 12 now, continuing the same thought. And he says, wherefore, that means, in other words, based on all of these things that we just talked about in Hebrews 11, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He's talking about those in Hebrews 11. This is that cloud of witnesses. This is this testimony he's given us. He tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin that easily beset us. And then he looks in verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus. Now look at this statement, the author and finisher of our faith. So we get to Hebrews 12 now. The Lord kind of brings everything to a point. He wants us to say, okay, here's what you've seen in Hebrews 11. These have been examples. But he says, now I want you to understand who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to give you four more important lessons as we finish out this series here on Have Faith in God. Four more important lessons about faith. Here's the first one I want you to consider this morning. Number one is this. Jesus is the object of our faith. It's important we understand that. A lot of times we struggle in faith because our eyes are on the wrong thing. Our eyes are on ourselves. Our eyes are on other people. Or even sometimes our eyes are on our faith. But our eyes have to be on the Lord. Look again at verse 2. It says, looking unto who?
Jesus.
Well, that was one or two of you. The Bible says, looking unto who?
Jesus.
That's who we look to when we think about faith. We look unto Jesus. And I'm not going to show it to you, but in Mark 11:22, one of my favorite verses about this idea of faith, Jesus said this. He said, have faith in, what's the next word? Anyone know? God. Have faith in God. Don't have faith in yourselves. Don't have faith in the preacher. Don't have faith in someone else. Don't have faith in your faith. Don't have faith in your job. Don't have faith in the president. Don't have faith in the country. You have faith in God. That's where our faith needs to be. And so that's what Jesus says. Have faith in God. He's the object of our faith. So when we think about faith, we must always be reminded to look to Jesus. It's an important concept. Now, here's what happens. We look to ourselves, or we look at our circumstances, at our resources a lot of times. We look at our time and our money and talents and such. Okay, that's not what the Lord says. So it's not looking at yourself, at your circumstances, at your resources. or others, that will not do. Okay? That's not going to build your faith. You're not going to grow as a Christian. Now, we'll talk a little bit about how other Christians can encourage us, but we have to understand that the object of our faith. Now, I cannot, as you can tell, I cannot overemphasize this point enough. People say, Pastor White, every Sunday morning, this Sunday school series, every time you get to the lesson, you keep saying the same thing. Don't look at your faith. Don't look at others. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your reason. Look at Jesus. Why do you keep saying that? Let me tell you why. Because it's one of the most important lessons I can give you. You've got to look at Him. You've got to focus on Him. He has to be the center of your attention. So someone might say this. Pastor White, why do you keep repeating it? Don't you think they heard you the first time? Here's what I think. I think people hear it. I think people learn it. Now listen, but I don't think necessarily people live it. Now, I'm not an old man, correct? We all agree with that, right? We all agree I'm not an old man. So, but I've been in the ministry 25 years. That's not a lot. Some have been in the ministry before I was ever born. But I have at least 25 years of experience. And I'll tell you this, over 25 years, here's what I've seen. I've seen people sit in church, hear exactly what I'm saying. They've nodded their head. They said, amen. Maybe they waved their Bible and said, yeah, that's right. Yep, that's right. But when push came to shove and problems came in their life, they failed. Because they didn't have faith in the Lord. They had faith maybe in their health. Or faith in, maybe they had faith in the preacher. And the preacher failed, and then say they failed. And so we have to understand, Jesus has to be the object of our faith. Now listen to me. Satan's plan is to get your eyes on anything other than Jesus. Let me see if I can say this clearly. Satan would be okay if your faith was based on me. Because that's not the Lord. He'd be okay if your faith was built on your parents or on your spouse or on something else. But when your faith is on the Lord, that's when he's concerned because he knows that's a Christian who's going to go forward. We probably know the most famous story in the Bible about keeping our eyes on Jesus. What do you think the most famous story in the Bible is about this? Peter walking on water. I knew you knew that story. And now we know this, don't we? Did he walk on the water, yes or no? Yes. Did he continue to walk on the water? No. What changed? How did Peter go from walking on water to sinking? What did he do? Took his eyes off of who? Jesus. Now the same thing is true in our life. We're not going to continue and live for the Lord and be faithful to the Lord and grow in our Christian life if our eyes get off the Lord. Now, I want you to notice this. Consider this. Satan will use both positive and negative events to do that. Typically, what we think is this. We think only the negative. But sometimes it's the positive. Satan will use believers. He'll use non-believers. He can use fellow believers to discourage you. Sometimes he uses non-believers. The issue isn't what he uses, because he'll use anything he can. The issue is, what is he trying to do? And that is, he's trying to get your eyes off of the Lord. And so we have to purposely set our eyes on Jesus and not allow anything to change our focus. Now, I'm going to give you point two in just a second, but I want to go back. This will come up somewhere later in the lesson, but I want to emphasize it again. Okay? Because I said it, but a lot of times it's just like, you're not paying attention. So Satan will use both positive and negative events. See, here's what we think. If I lose my job, well, that's of Satan. Well, it may not be. But he'll use that to discourage you. You know what? Sometimes he uses a raise to discourage you. Because what happens? All of a sudden, now your eyes are on the money. Sometimes he uses good things in your life. Satan uses those things to get your eyes off the Lord. And so we have to understand, this is Satan's plan. Anything that will come in your life that gets your eyes off the Lord, Satan is okay with that because he knows what happens when believers stay focused on the Lord. They'll go forward. They'll grow. So number one, Jesus is the object of our faith. Very important lesson. Lesson number two is almost like I'm saying the opposite, but listen carefully. Number two is this. Let me push the button. Number two is this. Other believers are an encouragement to our faith. Not the object of our faith, okay? Not the object, but they can be an encouragement to our faith. So if I say in one statement, keep our focus on Jesus, it seems almost counterintuitive to talk anything about the faith of others. If I say, you need to look to Jesus, He's the object of your faith, and the thing is, well, then why does it matter if anyone else has faith? Because I'm just going to keep my eyes on Jesus. Well, I am all for keeping your eyes on Jesus. But I tell you, other believers can be an encouragement in this walking with the Lord, with helping us grow in our faith. So all of Hebrews 11, he gives us person after person of faith to encourage us, not to be the object. He talks about Abraham, but Abraham is not the object of our faith. It's an encouragement to put our faith on the Lord. He talked about Isaac. Isaac's not the object of our faith. Isaac is an encouragement to put our focus, our attention, to make Jesus the object of our faith. So the Lord spends a great amount of time listing all these believers and encouraging us in some ways to emulate their faith. Now, let me explain it this way. I'll put it up here and I'll take a moment to explain it. Other believers are not our destination, but they can be very good at pointing the way to the destination. So let's see here. Bob Bullock, do you fly or do you drive to Pittsburgh?
Drive.
Okay, so he's going to Pittsburgh. Do you take the toll road?
Yes.
Okay, so he's taking the toll road. So here's Bob going down the road. Now, where is Bob going to?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I know. We're from Cleveland. He's kind of sticks in your mouth to say, Pittsburgh. Ah. But anyway, so he's going to Pittsburgh. Okay, he's a missionary there. All these lost people, someone's got to go there and witness to him. So here he is. He's going to Pittsburgh. Now, his destination is Pittsburgh. But as he's driving down the road, do you think there might be any signs that say Pittsburgh so many miles? Pittsburgh this lane? Pittsburgh this direction? Now, let's say he goes down the road and he sees a big sign that says Pittsburgh this exit. So he pulls off the road and stops by the exit sign and says, okay, I'm here. You say, no, you're not there. You didn't go to the sign. You're going to Pittsburgh. Why do they put a sign there? To help you get where you're going. You know what we are as believers to other believers? We are a sign. We're like an arrow. We're like one of those highway signs pointing people to Jesus. We can encourage others. So there's a benefit about living by faith, and others, as they come alongside of us, we can help point them to Jesus. But we're not pointing them to ourselves. In my Christian life, preachers have gone before me, fellow Christians have gone before me, who've been encouragement in my faith. My pastor when I was a teenager, Barry Garnell, he was a big encouragement. But the goal of my life is not to be like Barry Darnell. My goal is to be like Jesus. But Brother Darnell was a road sign. He was an arrow pointing me to Jesus. So as I'm going down, as you will, the highway of my life, and as I'm driving down the highway of my life, he's pointing me the right direction. So I say, thank God for that sign. Thank God he's pointing me the right way. But I'm not stopping there. I'm heading to where Jesus is. So Jesus is the object, but others, even though they're not the destination, they can be very good at pointing the way to our destination. Very important. Now, let me just kind of deviate just for a moment. We as human beings, we tend to be, and I think you'd agree with me, we tend to be creatures of extremes. We seem to go one way or the other, like a teeter-totter. Either we're doink this way or doink that way. We're never really balanced. We just seem to always be extreme one way or the other. And so, we tend to, when you think about this idea about Jesus being the object and others being encouragement, we tend to go to an extreme here. We either tend to look at other believers and then take our eyes off of Jesus and then become discouraged. Let me be clear about this. If all you're looking at is fellow believers, you will be discouraged. Because they're not going to be perfect. They're not going to live exactly as they should. And you're going to see some things. And the closer you get to them, the more you're going to see the imperfections in their own Christian life. So if your eyes are on them, that's the only person you're looking at, you will become discouraged. So we go to one extreme where instead of them being encouragement, they become our object. We get so consumed with this Christian or this believer, and we get consumed just trying to be like them and not to be like Jesus. They're not the road sign. They become the destination, and that becomes a discouragement. Or we go to the other extreme, okay, so the teeter-totter flips the other way, and then we refuse to look at other believers. We just like, no, I don't need anyone. I can just live this Christian life all by myself. And so instead we become discouraged, we become proud. Neither extreme is good. The Lord has given us both. Hebrews 11, he spends one chapter talking about this person of faith and this person of faith and this person of faith and this person of faith. But when we get to chapter 12, he says, but understand, they are a cloud of witnesses, but we're looking unto Jesus. He's the object. We consider him. And so we got to be careful that we don't go to one extreme or the other. So let me give you one more illustration, because I think these two here, side by side, is where we struggle a lot. Let me give you one more illustration along this line. Living by faith is like driving by a GPS, whether you have the old kind of GPS or, like most of us probably now, we just use our phone. Especially if you have an Android phone, you type in Google Maps. If you're, you know, you're still in the Stone Age and you have like a, you know, an iPhone, I mean, you know, that brick of a thing, you might have to use that. But if, you know, us who are much more advanced in our intellect and such, we have that Android with the Google Maps on it. And so here we're going down the road. We're using GPS. Okay, now, when we, a week ago yesterday, we were up in Oregon, Ohio, out by Toledo. There's a new church starting called Living Word Baptist Church. And so we went there and we spent several hours helping pass out some literature and help, because they're going to get started here in a couple of weeks. Now, when we're going that way, so I take my phone out, and I input Oregon, Ohio to the address we're going, something Navarre Road. So I'm punching that in. Now, as you're going down there, it tells you go this way, tells you go that way. It's pretty handy dandy, aren't they? But you ever use one of those and all of a sudden there's a detour maybe? Maybe there's an accident, maybe construction, maybe traffic is all messed up or just out of the blue, you know, something's happening and they got to redirect traffic. Well, when you think about living by faith, we now follow this illustration. We input our destination. Now, what's our destination? What's the object? Jesus, right? That's our object. So we punch in, be like Jesus. Okay? And then we get some directions. And now, how do we get directions? Well, obviously, the Word of God. We're not taking anything from that. But the Lord also gives us fellow believers. So as I'm trying to grow my Christian life, I'm watching this person, and I say, okay, yeah, that's what I should. I should be more like that. Yeah, I should learn from that. And so they're guiding me, they're directing me, they're helping me, they're encouraging me. But what happens when, as you're living this Christian life, what happens when the directions get messed up? What happens if the person you're looking to, all of a sudden, you know, they just quit church? Maybe someone leaves their wife or leaves their husband. Someone just gets mad or gets offended, and all of a sudden, you know, they hate everyone and everything. What happens when the directions get messed up? You know what you do? You reroute. You don't change the destination, you just reroute. I'm telling you, I've had to do that in my Christian life. People I've looked to, people I've looked up to who have failed. I didn't say, oh, what's the use? I said, well, you know, that's too bad. That is a great hurt to me. But that's not my goal. My goal is Jesus. So I reroute. Okay, that direction isn't going to work anymore. But I look for someone else who can help me and encourage me to be like the Lord. And so that's what the Lord is trying to get across here. He's the object of our faith, but other believers become an encouragement to our faith. Now let me give you two more lessons. Lesson number three is this. Weights and sins are a hindrance to our faith. Look back with me to verse 1. He says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And then he says this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now, the weight and the sin are two different things, because he says the weight and the sin, which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we can, as believers, we can have our eyes on the Lord, on Jesus. We can have other believers help pointing the way and still not go forward in our faith if we're allowing weights and sins to hinder us, to hold us back. Now, when you think about sin, I think that's pretty easy to understand. Sin is when the Bible says don't and you do. Or the Bible says do and you don't. That's a sin. OK, Okay, I'm going to give you the verse on it. 1 John 3:4 says this: whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. And notice this, for sin is the transgression of the law. Okay, that's what sin is. Sin is violating Scripture. When the Bible says don't do it, and we do it, that's a sin. The Bible says nope, don't do that, and we do it anyways, that's a sin. Okay, so when it says the sin was so easily beset us, if I'm violating Scripture, if I'm saying, oh, I want to be like Jesus, but the Bible says, well, you know, you need to tell the truth, and I sit there and lie, and I'm a cheat, and I'm dishonest. Well, I'm not going to grow my Christian life. I can say Jesus is my object. I can talk about other believers, but I'm not going to go forward if I'm allowing sin in my life. And so I think most of us are clear on that. I think you'd have to be kind of fooling yourself if you think you can just live opposite of the Word of God and grow as a Christian. That just doesn't even seem to be a rational thought. But what, notice this, he doesn't say just about sin. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. So when we talk about growing forward in our Christian life, it's not just about sin, but also we have to deal with this thing about weight. Now, what is weight? Now, weight is not that thing when you step on the scales and you curse. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about weights in a little bit different idea. Weights are these things that we allow in our life that encumber us from following Christ. Imagine with me, imagine if you're watching the Olympics. Okay, here's the Summer Olympics, and they're getting ready to run a race, and they're all lined up. Let's say there's seven of them. So all six of them, the first six, they have on their runner's gear. They got their tennis shoes on. They're down. They're ready to go. And here's number seven. He comes out full army gear, combat boots, helmet, big army pack, and he's number seven. Now you say, guy doesn't have a chance. I don't care how fast he can run. He has too much stuff. It's hindering him. It's encumbering him. Those are called weights. That's what we're talking about. Things that we allow in our lives that hinder us, that encumber us. Now, they all may have a racer's outfit and shoes, except that one guy. And here's this guy in full army gear. And it doesn't matter how fast he is. He is not going to win that race. He's too encumbered. Now, when we think about weights, okay, in the context of weights, okay, I'm making this statement so you understand the context of weights. Here's the wrong question. Well, what's wrong with that? Okay, that's the wrong question to ask. Now, we're not talking about Scripture, because if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. If the Bible says it's right, it's right. We're talking about things we allow in our life. Too often you say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. That's the wrong question to ask. Here's a question that we should be asking about things we allow in our life. Okay? Does this help me or hinder me in following after Christ? If it doesn't help me, and it's hindering me, I just need to give it up. I don't have to do it. I don't have to have that. So why am I holding on to it? Now watch this. Let's go back to this race. Here's these seven runners. Number seven, army gear. Now, I'm not talking about Olympic rules. I don't know what the Olympic rules are. I'm just thinking about guys running a race. Six of them have racers' outfits on. Number seven has the army suit on. Is it really a sin to wear an army suit when you're racing? No. But is it smart? No. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about something that's sinful. We're saying, if I want to run this race, then I got to use some wisdom. When we think about weights, we really think about three things we're trying to avoid. Certain people, certain places, and certain practices. Certain people are going to hinder me. If I'm around them and I start acting like them or talking like them, there's certain people, watch this, you know this to be true. There's certain people, they're not encouraging you. They discourage your faith. They're the ones who are telling the dirty jokes. They're the ones who are always trying to criticize the things of the Lord, mock the things of God. And you know, we're not talking about someone you have to work stand beside at work. We're talking about you're going out and you're eating with them, you're fellowshipping with them, you're partying with them. These people are pulling you away from your faith. You got to say, I can't be around. I've had to make that decision. Certain people, I just can't be around because I know this. They will hinder me in my faith. Certain practices you can't be a part of. They may not be a simple practice, but when you're doing it, you know that your heart's not right with the Lord, and it takes you away. Maybe you miss church, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you're not going soul winning, and these practices are keeping you away from what the Lord wants you to do. May not be a practice, may not be a people. Sometimes there are certain places that, because maybe your background, you can't be around. If you have a background of booze or something like that, you go to certain places and it brings back memories of bars and memories of things that you were involved in. And you've got to stay away from that. Other people have other issues. So weights, now watch this, a weight in my life may not be a weight in your life, and a weight in your life may not be a weight in my life. And there's certain weights that are probably true in all of our lives. But we have to look at our life and say, well, can you give me a verse against this? I'm going to tell you this. Listen, you got army boots on, you got army gear on, you got a backpack on, you got the helmet on. I'm going to tell you this, you can run as much as you want. You're not going to win this race. You are doing something that's stupid, that's hindering you. And that's what the Lord says there. Now, we got to be careful about these things. He says, you lay aside your ways, you lay aside the sin. And then he gives us the fourth lesson. That brings us, look at verse 1, if you will. He says at the end, and let us run with patience the race is set before us. And then he says in verse 3, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So here's the fourth lesson about faith as we finish up the series. And that is this, patiently is how we live our faith. That's probably not good grammar, but we try to stay in the same sentence frame. Patiently is how we live our faith. Now we talked a moment ago about this race. But here's what you have to understand. The life of faith is compared to a race, but it isn't a 100-yard dash. It is a marathon. It is a long, drawn out. It's a marathon. It's a long race. And you have to be patient. You have to just keep going and keep going and keep going. Here's a verse for us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11 says this, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. Notice that phrase there, the race is not to the swift. So when you think about this race, we're not necessarily trying to get going real fast and outrun everyone else. Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to have a good start. We're trying to keep at it and make it to the end without quitting. That's really what we're thinking about in our life of faith. So it's a marathon. It's a long... And that's what life is. You know, if you're probably more than 10 years old, you probably know that. Life is long and drawn out. Now I want you to notice a couple of verses with me. Well, let me give you a statement. Now I'll show you the verses. Okay? It's not how fast you start, but whether you finish, that is important. Now he says about... run this race with patience. I want you to notice what Paul said to the Corinthian believers. He said this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Now, keep at it. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast. Don't give up. Keep at it. Run your race with patience. He says this. Paul says this to the Galatian believers. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, now notice this, if we what? Faint not. Keep at it. Keep going. Keep at it. Keep going. He says this to the Thessalonians. So he talked to the Corinthian believers, Galatian believers, now the Thessalonian believers. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now, why do you think the Lord reminds all of these believers about not being weary? I'll tell you why I think. Because we get weary. It's one thing when, you know, here's the race. Everyone's lined up. Yay! The crowd goes wild. Yay! Yeah! And the gun goes, man, I'm running. You know, but after a little while, the crowd is no longer cheering, and it's just a long road in front of you. That's the Christian life. Boy, you got saved. Man, you're excited. You got in church. Boy, that's exciting. You took off. But after a while, it's like, How long do I got to keep doing this? How long do I keep coming to church? How long do I keep reading my Bible? How long do I keep praying? How long do I keep trying to live holy and pure for the Lord? Until the end of the race. Well, when's the end of the race? Let me tell you, it's heaven. When the Lord receives us and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It is a long time, but we just got to be at it. He says, "Be not weary in well-doing." He says, "Just keep at it. Be steadfast." So the Bible tells us we're to run with our eyes on Jesus. If we fall down, you get up, you keep going. And we do. The Bible says, "Just man falls seven times and rise up again." You're going to fall. You're going to trip. Your laces come undone. You trip on over your own feet. Something stumbles. Some reason, you mess up. You did something you shouldn't have. You said something you shouldn't have. You get back up and keep at it. Say, "Lord, forgive me. Help me do better." And you keep at it. You fall down, you get up. You get discouraged, maybe, and you say, "Well, okay, it's, everyone else seems to be, other runners are quitting, and others are falling by the wayside. Here's this guy who's running. He stopped. And this guy's, but he stopped. But I keep going. I'm keeping my eyes on the Lord. I feel bad they stopped, but I'm keeping my eyes on the Lord." Sometimes we get disoriented. Sometimes we get confused about the race, but we have to say, "Okay, I got to get refocused, get my eyes back on the Lord. What is this thing about?" And we just keep on going. We get tired, we ask the Lord for help. We ask for His grace and His help and His encouragement to go along the way. Let me give you three statements and we're going to be done. 13 weeks in three statements. Ready? Statement number one. It is possible to live by faith. It is possible. This is not ethereal. This is not an abstract. This is not some pie in the sky idea that, well, you're talking about living by faith, but that's just, that happened 100 years ago, but, that's not reality today. I'm telling you, believers today can live by faith, just like they've always done. Other believers before us have shown us the way. So, well, in 2015, you can't live that way. Guess what they said in 2014? In 1982, when I graduated high school, I remember my preacher standing up saying, "In 1982, they say we can't live by faith." They've always said that. But other believers in every generation have done it. They're our example. We can. It is possible. And here's the last statement. Our goal must be to begin and end our Christian life. Now, we begin by looking at Jesus. That's salvation. Okay? Begin and end our Christian life looking to Jesus and trusting Him.